Hello, this is David Swift, bringing you our radio podcast that tells you what authors have to say, where authors talk about their books and the personal experiences they encountered while writing them. This podcast is brought to you by Arizona Book Publishing, helping authors every step of the way. When you go to arizonabookpublishing.com, you'll see that we help first-time authors write their books. And once anyone has a book that's finished, we publish their books and even help them sell their books. You'll never feel alone, and we will always have someone available to contact you if any sort of problem arises. Today is February 15th, 2024, and with me is my guest, Brian Dugan, author of a very unique book called Expansional Balance, a Holistic Exercise Approach to Better Health and Fitness. So, Brian, how are you today? Are you feeling balanced and fit?
Yes, I am. And thank you for having me on today.
You're welcome. So Brian started out his career path as a massage therapist in the late 1980s. 10 years later, he became an engineer for a large defense contractor and eventually retired from the defense industry. He holds two bachelor's degrees in physics and astronomy from Northern Arizona University and a master's degree in business administration from the University of Arizona. Brian is a holistic health practitioner with over 1,000 hours of training in massage and somatic practices from the International Professional School of Bodywork in San Diego. Currently, Brian lives in Tucson, Arizona with his wife, Julie, and owns a small business, small real estate investment company. Since the late 1980s, Brian has studied, practiced, and taught a method of bodywork called structural integration. He has unique insights and expertise based on his personal experiences dealing with the fitness and holistic health industries and from using the concepts of structural integration in his exercise regime, which he calls expansional balance. His book combines both a holistic and regimental approach to health and fitness, which together can unlock your ability to achieve a higher quality of life. So, Brian, let's begin by you sharing with us a little bit about what your book, Expansional Balance, is all about.
Sure. It's a health and fitness, it's a health and fitness exercise book with a holistic approach. It's centered around a concept I learned as a massage therapist back in the late 80s called expansional balance, which I'll explain shortly. What's important to note is that this book is not about training to maximizing your performance to compete with others, nor is it a results-based fitness regimen that allows you to measure and achieve your fitness goals. Whereas the exercises described in this book are designed to stabilize the joints and organize your skeletal alignment. The results are better overall health and functionality, fewer aches and pains, and a greater ease in daily physical activities, which all improve the quality of your life.
So what do you actually mean by expansional balance?
The concept of expansional balance is the ability to move with little to no resistance in the joints while being surrounded by the field of gravity that we all live in. It's a concept of understanding our body's relationship with gravity and the integration of our core and sleeve. Expansional balance is, in essence, about the free movement of the joints. The exercises I've listed help release tension and open the joints to allow freer, more fluid movement. An integrated feeling of the whole body can then be attained. The free movement in the joints is actually the function of our body's natural design. It's usually due to poor patterns of movement, trauma, surgeries, disease, psychological conditioning, and a host of other factors that cause us to lose that potential for ideal joint movement.
But doesn't gravity naturally pull our bodies down over time?
It's a common misconception that our bodies break down over time due to gravity. It may surprise you to learn that our reaction to the force of gravity is what allows our bodies to feel light and movements to feel effortless. You're familiar with Newton's third law of motion. If two bodies exert forces on each other, these forces have the same magnitude but opposite directions. In this case, expansional balance, I'm only talking about the force due to gravity. When we stand and walk in this field of gravity all around us, our body's mass pushes into the ground. And then the reaction force of the ground pushes up equally, but in opposite direction. Our bodies take this reaction force and try to distribute it through our bodies in all directions. It's this reaction force due to gravity that assists our bodies to balance and expand outward, making us feel light and movement easier. In the book, I break down the concept of expansional balance into two components, vertical and horizontal polarities, which gives us a better understanding of our body's relationship with gravity. The concept also pertains to the alignment of the torso, which I break into three rings, such that the reaction force of gravity can move freely upward and be distributed evenly through the legs, torso, shoulders, and up through the head. Each exercise example provided explains why each exercise is important, what the intent of the exercise is, and how it relates to a holistic approach to health and fitness. The exercises listed will help release tension, open the joints to allow freer, more fluid, and pain-free movement, as well as stabilize the joints and organize your skeletal alignment. So regardless of your level of fitness, an integrated feeling of the whole body can be attained.
I'm sure that a lot of professional trainers and athletes would find this to be fascinating material. So can you describe in a little more detail about the two components of expansional balance?
Sure. As I've stated, our bodies respond to the force of gravity expanding outward from the contact surface, usually the ground. Pelvic extension begins the vertical polarity. What I mean is that the lifting of the spine is created when the rear of the pelvis turns downward. This downward turn of the pelvis causes a downward thrust of the feet into the ground. The reaction force of the ground then causes an upward thrust of the spine, which allows the body's expansional balance for the vertical polarity. This reaction force is then distributed, ideally, equally in all directions. For example, in standing, the feet push into the ground in an equal and opposite reaction to the force of gravity. This allows the skeleton to interact with its fascial struts to unfold outward and upward at the joints, letting the head rise easily and creating a vertical up and down polarity through the body. This vertical polarity is the first component of expansional balance that the body achieves in response to gravity. The second component is horizontal polarity. The extension of the elbows begins the horizontal polarity. So horizontal polarity occurs in the movement of the elbows as they, like the knees for the pelvis, they initiate the movement of the limbs out from the spine. The elbows extend from the spine through the shoulder girdle. The arms continue to extend through the center of each joint of the wrists and hands. So the arms extend outward horizontally so the shoulder girdle can balance and allow the head and neck to extend further upward. This outward extension or horizontal polarity further reinforces expansional balance in the body. Therefore, gravity is the source of energy that we use to achieve ease and lightness in the body. As the reaction force to gravity comes through the feet, it's transferred to the waist and extends up through the three rings of the torso and out through the arms, neck, and head. Gaining and maintaining a sense of expansional balance, the feeling that the body is allowed to extend effortlessly in all directions, one segment upon another, it's one of the main goals of the exercises in this book.
Now, for anybody who's feeling a little confused right now, can you tell us a little bit about the illustrations in the book? And how many illustrations you have and how they will, you know, explain and everything that you've just been telling us?
Sure. Actually, I think that's one of the more powerful aspects of the book is the very detailed illustrations. Each exercise is highly detailed illustrations so that the reader can visualize for themselves exactly what I'm explaining. So they can read it, and then they can see a picture of it and visualize more clearly in their own mind the message that I'm trying to convey.
Great. So explain, if you would, a little bit about the three rings of the torso. What are they, and how do they relate to expansional balance?
Sure. Here I'm talking about organizing the skeletal alignment of our core and sleeve. So the torso must be balanced around its center of gravity if the energy from gravity is to pass freely through the body to the head. The torso consists of three areas, or as I like to call rings, that shape our core. The rings are the pelvic ring, the diaphragm ring, and the shoulder ring. The vertical polarity must pass unimpeded through these three rings to achieve expansional balance. Now, the first is the pelvic ring, which gets balanced and stabilized on the hips. During pelvic extension, which causes a downward thrust of the legs, the pelvic ring is balanced with our perineum at the center of that balance, the perineum being the tissue between the thighs that make up the bottom of the pelvic cavity. The second ring is the diaphragm ring. Vertical polarity moves upward through the now balanced pelvic ring, which was established by the downward thrust of the legs, creating a foundation for the diaphragm ring. The diaphragm ring comes into a parallel relationship with the pelvic ring, which then balances the lumbar area of the spine. The third ring is the shoulder ring. So the now balanced diaphragm ring becomes the foundation for the shoulder ring. Only by coming into a parallel relationship with the diaphragm ring can the shoulder ring find balance, allowing both the neck and the head to rise and releasing the horizontal polarity. So in this way, the shoulder ring acts as a floating intermediary between the vertical and horizontal polarities.
So then what happens when there is a balance with all three of the rings?
If there is a balance among all three rings of the torso, then the neck and head will naturally find balance on its own. The rising of the head from the neck will feel effortless. The head just needs to find balance on the atlas joint. The atlas joint's the hinge that allows the head to nod. The neck will be balanced from the front and back, between the shoulders, and down into the upper chest. I'd like to add that it's particularly important that these three rings be balanced with each other so the energy from gravity doesn't get stuck or diminished before reaching the head. If the rings are imbalanced, either not parallel while standing upright on both feet, then vertical polarity will not be allowed to move freely up. Thus, expansional balance becomes diminished.
And then what happens if expansional balance is not fully achieved in the body?
Let me just start by saying that expansional balance of the limbs is always counterbalanced by a place within the core from which the movement expands. This expansional balance is compromised when the core and sleeve are not structurally integrated into a neutral position. So imagine water flowing through a tube. If that tube is twisted or kinked, then water gets stuck and it can't flow freely. It's the same thing. When the arms and the legs are contracted or the torso and head are twisted from the center, then the energy to expand the body in response to the reaction force of gravity gets stuck. The feeling of expansional balance is diminished. A lack of fluidity and movements in the joints is the result, which can lead to aches and pains. It can lead to aberrated or compensatory movement patterns and a lower quality of life.
That's so interesting. So, but how are these exercises in your book different than what you might find in other health and fitness books?
It's important to understand the distinction between exercising and training. So this book is based on the former, not the latter. Training is conditioning the body to excel at a specific endeavor, like running a marathon or weightlifting, so that you can compete with others. It's a chance to show off your physical prowess to others and potentially win a trophy to validate your sacrifices and sweat over the months or even years of training. Exercising, on the other hand, is to consciously put your body into physical exertions that you wouldn't normally do on a day-to-day basis. The intent of exercising as opposed to training is to maintain a level of health that prevents the body from becoming weak, sluggish, and stiff. So this book is not about training your body towards maximizing physical capabilities to compete with others. Although many people will find such an approach fulfilling, it can sometimes lead them to build their identity around how well they compete instead of how their training affects their quality of life. So this book is focused on exercises that help you move toward a higher quality of life. I aim to give people the tools they need to feel strong, energetic, and free of aches and pains for the rest of their lives.
Fantastic. So tell us, what actually inspired you to write this book?
So both the holistic health industry and the fitness industry purport to improve your health and overall well-being. Here's the problem. Both industries miss an opportunity to help you do that effectively. So the holistic health practices typically focus on freeing blocked energy and balancing that energy in the body and mind to enhance your health and overall well-being. However, they tend to lack vigorous exercise regimens that will build strength and endurance for physical fitness. Although strength building via resistance exercises is part of the holistic health paradigm, in my 30 plus years of experience working in the holistic health field, I've found that it's not practiced or encouraged much. Meanwhile, the fitness industry emphasizes building strength and endurance through vigorous regimental training to maximize performance. However, that industry lacks a focus on building flexibility, balanced movement, and greater body awareness to enhance your health and well-being. So this led me to wonder, well, why not just combine the best aspects of both industries? Take the fitness industry's regimental exercise for maximizing performance and the holistic health industry's balancing mind and body to enhance health and well-being. I bridge those two paradigms together and I get a regimental holistic program to enhance health and fitness. So in this book, I attempt to build that bridge. I give specific examples of exercise routines, one I've been doing myself for decades, along with explanations of how each exercise contributes to building and maintaining flexibility, balanced movement, and greater body awareness, along with building and maintaining strength and endurance. The outcomes, higher quality of life.
So for those people who are not familiar with the term holistic or holistic approach, could you explain a little more about that?
Sure. The holistic approach means understanding that your physical and emotional health are intertwined. This is known as the mind-body connection. Our chemistry and biology impact our mood and emotions, as well as thoughts and beliefs, and vice versa. Our emotions impact our biology. For example, if you've ever felt your stomach tighten up when you were anxious, well, you've just experienced the mind-body connection. In my book, I guide the reader to use their awareness while doing the exercises to help them gain a greater sense of that mind-body connection. Moving with self-awareness will help you recognize aberrant holding patterns and compensatory movements so you can develop healthier movement patterns. With these routines, you'll be moving the body in a manner that you wouldn't normally do on a day-to-day basis, which will build greater self-awareness that allows you to understand your habits and tendencies more clearly, both constructive and destructive. It'll help you understand where you're weak, where you hold tension, and where you're unbalanced in your body. Then you use that self-awareness to guide yourself on how to work on those areas to improve your strength, endurance, and flexibility, and ultimately, again, improve the quality of your life.
So what would you say is your ultimate goal for this book?
The goal is to provide basic exercises with detailed illustrations and explanations that combine strength, endurance, and flexibility into a health and fitness regimen that will generate a greater degree of expansional balance in the body. This is a far different perspective on health and fitness from training and conditioning the body to maximize performance. Exercise is the key to a healthy life. I want to teach people how to achieve a higher quality of life by building and maintaining a healthy level of strength, endurance, and flexibility. Because if you don't exercise, the opposite occurs. Your body will become weak, sluggish, and stiff. You'll begin to experience aches and pains, and your quality of life will decline.
In your opinion, what would you say that a person needs in order to build and maintain strength, endurance, and flexibility?
In my experience as a massage therapist, two main traits a person needs to create a lasting change are self-awareness and will. You can't move forward with just one trait. You need both. If a person is aware that a part of their life is unhealthy, then it won't get any better if they lack the will to change it. Likewise, I've met people who have the will to exercise routinely, but lack the self-awareness to know that they're hurting themselves. High-performance athletes do this all the time. The connection between self-awareness and will is that they both must be applied together.
I know for my own self, I always have trouble, you know, getting the motivation together to exercise regularly. So What would you suggest to someone like me about how to get more motivated to exercise?
A person needs to develop the will to make exercise a part of their daily habit. That's the key. People like yourself often tell me they don't have the motivation to exercise. Well, I tell them the answer, it's not motivation. It's not motivational pep talks, discipline, or goal setting, or trying to make exercise fun. Even if we make exercise fun, eventually, like all regimental routines, it'll cease to be fun, usually in a short amount of time. I say if you're having fun while you're exercising, you're doing something wrong. The answer is habit. We're all creatures of habit. We create habits for getting ready for work, driving places, shopping, eating, and sleeping. Most of our lives are driven by daily patterns of these repetitive routines. And we turn those repetitive daily routines into habits for a really good reason. And that reason is habits reduce our dependence on motivational processes. That way, we continue to perform the repetitive routine, even when it's not fun or pleasurable anymore. Yet, the one thing that matters most in our lives, maintaining good health, is not part of most people's daily routines. So, the key to making exercise a part of your daily routine is to make it a habit.
Thank you for that. For our listeners who do not live in Tucson, Arizona, we want to let you know that every year the University of Arizona sponsors what's called the Tucson Festival of Books, which is just a massive outdoor event where authors and publishers from all over the world gather together. Literally thousands of people show up, and they have speakers and there's just no way to describe it without actually seeing it. But I understand you'll be there this year on March 9th and 10th. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I'll be at booth number 465 in front of the main library.
Fantastic. I wish you a lot of success. So if you can't make it to the festival, you can find out more about Brian Dugan and his important work at his website, expansionalbalancebook.com. Or you can send an email to Brian Dugan, and that's spelled Dugan, Brian Dugan at expansionalbalancebook.com. Or you can find his book on sale online at Amazon, Google Books, Barnes and Noble, or any book retailer that uses Ingram Spark as their distributor. And most booktailers do that. So it's also available in paperback, hardback, and also in ebook. And as a special bonus, for anyone listening to our show today, Brian Dugan has given me 10 autographed copies of his book that are available on my website, ArizonaBookPublishing.com. Just go to the page that's labeled Podcasts, and you'll find a copy of this interview. You'll find a downloadable printout of this interview, and you'll be able to find out if we still have any of his autographed books for sale. So, are there any last words you want to say, Brian?
Thank you for having me on your podcast. This has been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. So this is David Swift. I want to thank you for listening to our show, What Authors Have to Say, brought to you by ArizonaBookPublishing.com, a publishing company that helps first-time authors write their books. And when your book is finished, we publish your books, and we even help you sell your books. We're with you every step of the way. You'll always have someone to contact with any sort of problem arises. The best part is you don't have to be from Arizona. Our clients come from all over the country and around the world. So if you have any questions, call or text 850-252-0706 or send an email to ArizonaBookPublishing@gmail.com. You can also go to our Facebook page and our Instagram page at Arizona Book Publishing and join in on all the conversations. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.